The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on March 21st, 2010 in London, England.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada has blessed us with that knowledge which will drive away all ignorance, all illusion, all confusion, all suffering, all the inauspicious qualities which are afflicting us very heavily in this age. They will all be dissipated by this chanting process. So, if you all can take very seriously this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will not have to take birth again in this world. You can become completely enlightened with spiritual knowledge and taste the sweetest happiness at every minute. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Yes?
How is it possible to get balance when at the moment in this material world and the spiritual, when the material world at the moment is more strong, the current is more strong, it's like a pulling you up to, from this material, from what you, reality, how you mentioned this afternoon, is you, to try to find yourself. How is it possible to have this balance?
How do you maintain Krishna consciousness about dealing with the material world?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you have to see that Krishna is actually the energy behind the material world also. Maya dakshena prakati suyate saracharam hetuna ninukonteya jagadi parivartate. This material nature is one of my energies, O son of Kunti. It's producing all varieties of moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So you have to learn how to see Krishna even within the actings of this material nature. And then once you see Krishna even within the material nature, then what is the difficulty? Krishna makes it very easy. He explains how He's present everywhere. Rasaham apsukonteya prabhashmi shashishuryayo pranavasarva vedeshu shabdake parashangnushu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of the water. I am the sound in the ether. I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the ability in man. So you drink water every day, don't you? So that is Krishna. Do you hear so many sounds? No, London's a very noisy place. So every day the sounds of London, the roar of London is going on. And that is Krishna also. So in this way, if you will see everything through the eyes of the scripture, and see how the hand of Krishna, even in the midst of calamities or difficulties, which are Krishna's kindness upon us to help us become free of our past sinful karma. Everything is actually orchestrated. Krishna has a custom orchestration program for each and every one of us to bring us back to His eternal abode as soon as possible. So nothing that is happening to you is happening to you by chance. It's all happening to you under the direction of Krishna because He wants you back. He loves you and He misses you. You're very special to Him. You have a relationship, unique relationship with Him that nobody else has, and you're the only one who can satisfy Him in that particular way. So He's doing everything He can to get you back now as soon as possible. You have to learn how to see the hand of Krishna at every step in everything. And so the balance won't be difficult. And balance is actually directly described in the 11th mantra of the Sri Yusha Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo bayam saha avidyayam ritam tirtava avidyayam ritam ashnute. Only one who can make a perfect balance between matter and spirit, between nescience and knowledge, can achieve the blessings of immortality. So you have to, the balance means you have to engage the material energy in Krishna's service. That's how it becomes balanced. Whatever material talents you have, whatever material abilities you have, use those for Krishna. Whatever you're doing, find a way to connect it with Krishna. Yad kadoshi yadashnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi kaunteya tat kadushava madarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you're doing, do that for me. So you have to learn how to connect everything that you're doing with Krishna. Everything material and spiritual that you're doing. Whether you're at the temple or whether you're out there sitting in a bus somewhere, or you're at your work, or you're at home, whether you're brushing your teeth, whatever you're doing, try to learn how to connect it with Krishna by offering it to Him with love. You want to do it in such a way that He's pleased. That's the key. Try to think, how can I do this particular activity in a way that is pleasing to Krishna? And if there's no way to make it pleasing to Krishna, maybe you should not do that activity anymore also. You know, like eating hamburgers or smoking cigarettes or some bad habits. We have to do everything in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna. Then we enter into a state of consciousness known as samadhi, or Krishna consciousness, ecstatic spiritual trance. Would you like to be in a state of ecstatic spiritual trance 24 hours a day? All right. So we will teach you how to do them. We will train you how you can be in ecstatic spiritual trance, samadhi, 24 hours a day. Are you on my e-course yet?
Yeah.
You are? Oh, very good. What is your name?
Iris Cortez. Iris Cortez.
Iles?
Iris?
Iles?
Iles.
Ailis.
Ailis.
Ivis. I'm somewhat deaf, so they tolerate me a little bit. Ivis.
Cortez.
Cortez.
Yes, it's Spanish. Cortez.
Cortez.
Yes.
Cortez.
Yes, Cortez.
Ivis. Cortez.
Yes.
De donde es este?
Peru.
Oh, Peru.
Yeah, Peru.
Lima?
Lima.
I go to Lima every year. I go to Lima every year.
Yeah.
Our temple on Wilson Street.
Yeah.
Have you been to that temple?
No.
You came to Krishna Consciousness in London?
Yes.
Oh, bueno.
How did you come?
So, yes, well, I'm very happy to see that some Peruvians here in London are becoming Krishna conscious. It's very good. Muchas gracias, señora. Okay, any other questions?
I just have every question that if I can start to formulate a question to ask a devotee, I find the answer almost immediately, and then I feel I can't ask that question. So can you give me some? Is there something I miss? No, is my... I begin to think my mind is, and maybe fooling myself, because I feel that any question that I have concerning...
They're all answered.
No, but I find that I answer it myself. I find the answer myself to that question.
You get the answers for all of your questions from within?
Yeah.
That's very nice. That means you're getting connected with the Super Soul. Well, you should get confirmed from senior devotees, gurus, senior Vaishnavas, sannyasis, etc. You should get it confirmed to make sure that you're really getting the proper answer within. You're not getting some distorted answer within. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By reading Prabhupada's books and by inquiring from guru and senior Vaishnavas, then you can confirm that you're actually getting the proper understanding from within. Because on one hand, the Paramatma is there talking to us. On the other hand, our mind is there talking to us also. You have to make sure it's the Paramatma and it's not your mind. And that's why you have to have it confirmed by Guru, Vaishnavas, and Shastra. Three things. Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra, the three-way check and balance system. To make sure you're really getting the proper guidance, you're not just concocting something.
I feel that it's come through just through the path of life before any form of devotion was there.
Feel that it's...
Part of the life, but before he had any devotion,
yeah.
Those felt that before too.
Yeah. Did those inner promptings bring you to Krishna consciousness also?
Yeah.
So that's the super soul is there in the heart of all of us. He's communicating to each and every one of us. If we learn to hear him by purifying our senses, by sincere devotion, then we can make very rapid progress on the pathway back to Godhead. But that must always be confirmed externally by Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra. But if it is being confirmed, then it's very good. It's a sign of spiritual progress.
Can I ask just one more question? Mm. So that because reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, but Lord Brahma is the head of this particular universe. So, but he's also a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. But that means that everything that Lord Brahma does and creates must be pure. Is that correct understanding? It must be
pure. Not necessarily. I mean, Brahma's creation is perfect, but there are things created here for those who are imperfect. It's like there's a loyal government servant that built the prison for the inmates. And the life in those cells is pretty bleak and pretty miserable. Even though it was a loyal government servant that built those cells, prison cells. So Brahmaji, he creates things which are binding also. Under his creation, many people are bound up within the modes of nature. That's not his fault. What he has done is perfect, but it's also a perfect mess. This material world is a perfect mess. For those who are rebellious against the Supreme Lord's authority, this place is a hopeless maze of repetition of birth and death that Brahma created to facilitate those kind of people under Krishna's direction. So just because something has been in the creation of Brahma doesn't mean that it's necessarily good for my spiritual advancement. That's the point. That Brahma created, you know, male and female and sex life and so many things. So he created meat eating, you know, gave me a mouth where I can eat meat. You know, so many things. You can say, well, Brahma did it. He gave me a mouth with two carnivorous teeth, so that means I'm supposed to eat meat. Actually, there's only two carnivorous teeth. The rest of them are herbivorous teeth. Prabhupada said that was a concession for meat eaters. One Muslim doctor was arguing that this body is, because of these two carnivorous teeth, were meant to eat meat. But he failed to see so many other things. That actually the the whole anatomy of a human being is the same, similar anatomy as the herbivorous animals, not the carnivorous animals. So Brahmaji has given facility to everyone, those who want to make advancement in spiritual life and those who want to try to make advancement in material life. Everybody is facilitated by his creation. So what he's done is perfect, but it doesn't mean that you can do anything in this material world and become perfect. No, you have to follow the scriptures.
universes. They might be completely different.
Other universes are very much the same as this, except they're much bigger. This is a very tiny universe. Our Brahma here only has 4 heads. In the other universes, they have 40 heads, 400 heads, 4,000 heads, 4 million heads. Much bigger universes. This is the... Somebody wants to know where you're from. You say, well, I'm from the universe of the four-headed Brahma. That's my address. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada, he says that remembering Krishna within the heart is the goal of devotional service.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is there a difference between remembering Krishna in the heart and the mind?
Is there any technique?
Is there any difference between
the... Oh, the mind and the heart. Mind also refers... Your mind and heart can, according to context, refer to the same thing. According to context. In this particular context, you can say the mind, the consciousness, the heart, it's all the same thing.
There's a story about Kula Chakora, a king who renounces...
Yeah, there's a story about King Kula Chakora.
Ah, okay.
He renounced his kingship to follow Krishna. Could you say anything about that?
King Kulashekar ki jai.
He said something.
Prabhupada was very much fond of his prayer. He is very famous. It is called the Mukunda Mala Stotra. He is very, very famous for these prayers. Even though he is not in our Vaishnava line, he's in a different Vaishnava line. The Prabhupada was very much fond of his prayers, especially that one prayer where he's saying that now I am in a healthy state, I am able to chant the names of God. The time of death, my life airs will become choked up. I may not be able to utter the names of God at the time of death, so therefore I'm praying that may the present moment, may this swan of my mind be wrapped around the lotus feet of Krishna. The swans will take a lotus flower and they'll wrap their necks, they'll entwine as a playing, as a plaything, a playful pastime. They will entwine their neck with a lotus stem. Like, you know, knot it all together. Like two pieces of half of a rope, you know, not made together in one piece of rope. They like to entangle their neck within the stem of a lotus. So he is praying that his mind can become in that way entangled in the lotus feet of Krishna. Now while he's still healthy and in good state of consciousness. So he's actually praying that he can die immediately in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is very, very, he used to chant that prayer with great feeling and devotion. So Kulashekar Maharaj therefore is a great, we can understand that Prabhupada was so fond of his prayers. He must have, how much great Vaishnava he was, that Prabhupada was so much absorbed in his prayer. Yes?
I understand that Lord Krishna has a transcendental body, but I was wondering if his insides are made up of blood and bones. I mean, what are his insides made up? Because his exterior looks amazingly similar to ours, but is his inside like similar to ours too?
What's the question?
He's asking what the inside like of Krishna's body.
Bones.
What is the
composition of his body?
If there's also bones and blood in the inside of Krishna, like...
Oh, on the inside, there's no veins. It's described. Without veins is mentioned in the Shreya Upanishad. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is without veins. So Krishna can manifest ordinary bodily activities if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. He's not obliged to to have veins in order to function like we are.
Okay.
He can have veins or not have veins, but it describes Yeah, as a pastime, he was a naughty child. He used to pass urine in the neighbor's huts. So that means he manifested having the capacity to pass urine. So Krishna can do that or not do that. Not that he has to run to the toilet like we do. You see? But if he wants to pass urine for the pleasure of harassing, you know, in a transcendental way, the neighbors, because they wouldn't give him butter. He can do that. He's not obliged to pass urine like we are, you know. Like people on the airplane, you know, waiting in line for that. And then somebody's going to come out, you know, so they can get in. Not, Krishna's not obliged like them. But if he wants to pass urine, he can do them. So he's not caught up in the bodily organs like we are. But he, if he wants to manifest some of the activities of bodily organs for his own pleasure, he can do that if he wants to. Yeah.
In Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that, first of all, it pronounced you. In Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that if one sleeps too much or who does not sleep enough, he cannot become a devotee.
Right.
I'm having sleepless nights. I don't get sleep in the night time. Because of anxiety.
You have insomnia. How much sleep do you get every day?
Because I was working on a profession where I have to remain awake during the night time or any time when I get the calls and I have to resolve the problems. So now I have quit that profession. I'm doing a Master of Business Administration course.
Now you're having a hard time sleeping?
Yeah, now I'm...
How much sleep do you get every day?
I sleep in the morning. I get sleep around 5 o'clock in the morning and sleep until 9 or 10. 5 to 9 or something like that.
So when do you chant japa?
Sometimes I chant, but during the noon...
What do you do between midnight and 5 in the morning?
Yeah, something.
What do you do then?
I listen to songs.
Why don't you chant japa then?
I chant in the noon, 12 o'clock.
Oh no. Why don't you chant? I chant my rounds between 2. I get up and chant my rounds at 2:30. It's a very good time to chant. Why don't you, if you can't go to sleep, why don't you chant japa instead of listening to song?
No, I'm listening to Krishna's song.
Huh?
He's listening to Krishna's song.
No, but first thing you have to learn how to chant japa, and then you can sing songs. And you should sing songs with the Vaishnava Acharya.
He listens to the songs.
Listens to songs. Yeah. I know, but I'm saying you should. There are many, many songs about Krishna sung. Whose songs are you listening to?
She actually passed away. She sings nice, good songs.
Subbalakshmi.
The best thing is if you can hear the songs, the most powerful songs are the songs of the great acharyas, such as Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. If you can hear those songs, that will give you more power, spiritual power, to conquer all of your senses. Right now you're having difficulty controlling your senses. So if you will change your listening habits and hear the song sung by great realized acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, and if you will also chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Japa Mala beads, you'll find that actually all of your senses become very nicely regulated and you'll be able to sleep at the proper hour and get the proper rest. And have very nice balanced sadhana. So I advise that you should, you can get some recordings of Srila Prabhupada singing bhajans. Listen to Prabhupada instead. There is much more power than in some other, even Vaishnava singers, or to speak of professional singers. If you will listen to Prabhupada, develop a taste for Prabhupada, hearing Prabhupada sing the bhajans, and you also chant on the Japa Mala beads, you will find that you, all of your anxieties will go away and you'll become a very healthy and happy devotee. Anything else? Yeah. All right, go ahead. You're next.
Go ahead. I find difficulty in going to sleep. Sometimes I stay awake a couple of hours, not sleeping. So then I, you know, sleep around late in the night and, you know, I wake up, you know, a couple of hours later. And I'm not rested enough. So I should try to catch my sleep during the daytime.
See, the ideal thing is to sleep, go to bed early and get up by 4 a.m. That's the ideal thing. That is real Vedic culture, to rise by no later than 4 a.m. Because then the best time of the day is between 4, you know, from 4 o'clock and sunrise. If the best time for chanting and studying scripture and doing puja, that's the time before the sunrise. So it may not be possible for everyone because of their habits, because of their occupation, etc., etc. But anyone who can move in that direction will find great benefit. Move, you know, to sleep during sunrise is very not very good thing. When the sun is rising in the morning, you should have already been up chanting the names of God. Because there's different modes of nature that function. At the time of sunrise, the mode of passion becomes predominant, which means do things, active mode. It's not a meditative time of the day once the sun comes up. It's hard to meditate. But if after 4 a.m., you see, the sattva gun is very prominent, or it's very easy just to be very peaceful, absorb yourself deeply. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can just dive deeply into the ocean of Krishna's names, derive great satisfaction and bliss, and then when the sun comes, you'll be completely surcharged with spiritual energy. You can serve Krishna nicely throughout the day. By 10 o'clock, you'll be really tired, and you can just go to sleep like a baby. So, because of the culture we're in, it may be difficult to do that immediately. But if you will work in that direction, you see, go to bed by 10 or by 9, get up by 4 or 3, or the latest by 5, you'll find that gradually you can completely reshape your consciousness. And control, you see, you should not be controlled by the mind. You should bring the mind under your control. Then when you want to be awake, you can be awake. When you want to be asleep, you can be asleep. You're in control, not the mind. The mind and you are different. You have to learn how to bring your mind out of your control. Don't let your mind control you. Then when you want to sleep, you just say, okay, mind, that's it. Shut off time. In 5 minutes, you're gone. One technique I found is helpful. You know how when we sleep, we breathe very deeply? Someone's sleeping, they go, you know how it is when you see somebody sleeping? Just lay down and pretend you're sleeping. Just lay down and just go and become very relaxed as if you were asleep. Just try pretending like you're asleep, like you're like a movie, you know. And you're an actor pretending you're in a deep sleep. You'll be amazed. Just by doing that, you can actually fall asleep very quickly. Just lay down and breathe very slowly, just like you're actually, actually asleep. Yeah, okay. You'll be surprised. You can actually conquer over insomnia that way.
Excuse me, Prabhu. I have to catch a train.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes?
She has to catch a train.
Oh, all blessings to you on your pathway back to Godhead.
Excuse me.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. We appreciate so much you participating in our movement.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Has Krishna got a favorite food?
Has Krishna got a favorite food?
Yes, he wants love, your love.
Food.
That is his favorite food, yeah. I heard correctly. Krishna's favorite food is your love. You can offer him any food within the category of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. If you offer it with love, that will be his favorite food. Any food, if you offer it with love, that will be his favorite food. So you just learn how to offer with love to Krishna. I told him I would, and I didn't keep my words. So go ahead. Now you're after him, though. Go ahead.
I was wondering, in my daily service, I know it's said that when we do service, we should try and think of Krishna, keep Krishna at the center.
Try to
keep Krishna at the center.
Keep Krishna at the center. Okay.
Yeah. When we do our service, for instance, especially obviously temple services and things like that, or whatever.
Or any trip, is it home, yeah, in the temple, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe, right?
But what if you struggle to, you find that you just think about the practicalities of just doing that service, but you struggle to actually think of...
There's nothing wrong with the practicalities, because if you want to do it for Krishna, it should be done, the practicalities should be done very expertly. It's like being on, Just like when I offer an arti, Prabhupada said the punctuality is very important. So I like to do, talk about being precise. We have an atomic, you have here an atomic clock also, but we have one in the U.S. in Boulder, Colorado. It's the atomic clock. It's like the most accurate clock in North America. So I have a clock that sends radio waves back and forth. It receives radio waves from the atomic clock, and it's like precise on the second, you know. It checks itself every 24 hours, I think. So then I set my watch, very precisely. I'll let the second hand come to the 12, I'll stop it, I'll set the minute hand, and then I'll watch that clock where it's synchronized with the atomic clock, and I'll go right at the second. So this, when I second hands the 12, it's lined up with the atomic clock. So I'd like to offer the arti. See, I like to, when that second hand hits the 12, I'm blowing the conch. I like to be right on the second. So the split is, it's right on the second when I'm offering an arti, for example. So that's material details, isn't it? The atomic clock, synchronizing your watch. These are material. You could say, well, how materialistic can you get? Some people used to criticize Prabhupada for wearing a watch. He couldn't be spiritual because he wears a watch. Mm-hmm. Which is really bogus, like hippie philosophy from the 60s, But the more you can be precise in the seat of the practical details of doing everything in the most expert way that you can possibly do it. When it comes, whether it's cutting vegetables, not wasting even a little bit of the vegetable, or just every little detail of every service you're doing, try to do it in the first class way. Just imagine if Krishna was personally present. Of course he is. We just don't realize it. Try to do everything in absolutely the best possible way you can do it. That's Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean sloppy, slipshod work. It means everything very, very carefully done in the most first-class way. That is Krishna consciousness.
Even if you're not perhaps thinking, I'm doing this directly for Krishna.
Yeah, even if perhaps you are not thinking about Krishna, directly thinking.
No, you can think. Krishna is fully manifested in the form of a service. That service is an incarnation of Krishna. So if you dive into that service, you're directly connecting with God. Because you're doing it for Him. Are you a paid worker? No, you're doing it for Krishna. So you do it. Krishna has appeared in the form of that devotional service, now fully absorbed in doing it in the most wonderful way that could possibly be done. And that is perfect Krishna consciousness. Now, do it. Anything else?
Why does Lord Krishna have a body similar to the human body? I mean, there's so many universes, and
And I think Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one of his books that every living entity in that specific universe is attached to that body. So that suggests that they have a different body to ours. So why does Lord Krishna, in his original form, have a body like exactly the same as ours?
Why does Krishna have the body exactly like ours?
Oh, no, you got it backwards.
Yes.
Krishna doesn't have a body like ours. We have a body like Krishna.
It said man is made in the image of God.
Even the Bible says man is made in the image of God. Yeah. You see, there are two, they say that, well, there really is no God, but if a human being, he invents a God who is after his own form. They call it anthropomorphism. And they say, well, since the human beings, they will imagine a God who's like them. And the dogs were God-conscious. They'd imagine some big dog out there in the sky. Or the cats would imagine some big cat. They say you just imagine God according to your own form, thinking this is the greatest form because it's my form, therefore God must have a... No, it's not like them. We are made after the image of God because God wants to enjoy loving relationships with as many living entities as possible. So he's emanating us from himself, giving us forms similar to his so that he can reciprocate with us in a way that he feels comfortable and the way that we will also feel comfortable. So you should never think that why God has a form like ours. Your thinking is backwards. You have to flip your thinking around. Why do we have a form like God's?
Yeah.
That's the proper way to analyze it.
So, I mean, in all the universes, they all have a form similar to Krishna's.
Yeah, all the universes, they have all has the forms like Krishna, similar to Krishna.
Of the universe?
All other universes also.
Other universes.
In other universes.
In other universes, yes, Krishna has the same form. Everywhere he has the same form.
All the other living entities.
Huh?
Living entities.
Living entities?
Yeah.
Krishna appears in every species also. To bless that particular species. Baba describes, he appears in every species. It's like we see the matcha incarnation, karma, the tortoise, the varaha, the hog incarnation, boar incarnation. Krishna actually appears in every single one of the 8,400,000 species to bless that particular species.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
A quick connection. Is there any relationship between, you know, the tamarind tree? It was described in one of the books.
Tamarind, relationship between tamarind tree and
Krishna.
Color.
Actually, Krishna must have some relationship with the tamarind tree, otherwise how has it become manifested?
Can I ask?
Yes.
Sorry, being a divorced mother and having a teenager daughter who was born in this country.
Yeah.
And she's 15. I'm trying to teach her just the little what I know, maybe of consciousness, you know, of spirituality. But when she goes to the school, I live in Wimbledon, and she goes to the school in Wimbledon, and she mentioned, Mom, but in the school...
Is it, what, where does she go?
Wimbledon.
That's a material school.
No, she's not.
Devotee school.
No, boarding school. It's not for them.
It's a regular secular school.
Yes.
Wimbledon.
It's good, and as well, where I live is not.
The city's name is Wimbledon.
Yeah, but it's not a devotee school.
No.
Okay.
No. But what I mean is, neither the area where I live is not. What disappoints me is why she goes and she says, Mom, most no one in my class believe in God. And what you are talking about? And I find my place where I live, neither no one says hello, living in a very nice area. And really disappoint me. My question is, how can I, it's like, because sometimes make me crazy, you know, I feel just to leave. But my daughter have only 2 more years to finish the school, and I want to go. How can I teach her, or how can I not be attached to these things, what's happening? How can I, could you please explain in which way?
Do you bring her here?
Sorry?
Do you bring her here?
No, she doesn't want to come. Because what I say in the school, she says, no, my friends, and what they are teaching her, you know, is completely different, but I'm
wow, you have to become a very good salesman. What's her age now?
15.
15.
15.
Oh, wow. Teenager.
Give us some prashad.
See, the thing is, you got to get them, if you really want to get them, you got to get them when they're little babies. And they have to grow up coming to the temple every week. Yeah. It's muy difícil and very difficult at this age to get. All you can do is bring her a prashadam, you know. You have to just win her over with prashadam.
But I've been teaching her, because I was in India too, but I went to self-realization of Paramahansa Yogananda. Mm-hmm. But I've been telling her since she was born, since I was pregnant, I was reading, but it's like suddenly changed, because the school teach her something different. Neither has some fight with the school teachers. And that upset me, you know?
Yeah, these schools are like slaughterhouses, SFM. Yeah. That's why better we have our own Krishna conscious schools. These public schools are like slaughterhouses. They're killing the children.
Yes.
They're killing them.
I found very sad to have my child in that area where I live. I found it's better to go from where I live. I found no one is happy.
Yeah, it's a hellish world.
Question. How can I do? Because the
world
is too strong.
Therefore, we have to create Krishna-conscious education programs for the children and the adults both, all over the world.
Okay.
It's a horrible world right now. People are demoniacs. Yeah.
Isn't it that if we want to train our children, we have to do the right thing so the children are trained properly right from the beginning?
Yeah, the way to train the child and do everything is do it yourself, engage the child doing it with you. We see some parents, they'll bring the child before the Vaishnava and they say, okay, Amit, bow down to the spiritual master. And they'll take the child and they'll bow him down, you know, like force. But that's not very good. Then the child will grow up thinking, you know, they always force me to bow down, and now that I'm grown up, I don't have to do it anymore. Thank God. No, but the parents, they say, oh, wow, let's go bow down to the spiritual master or the Vaishnava. You see, let's go bow down. It's the most wonderful thing. We'll get the blessings of the Vaishnava, we'll get the blessings of Krishna. The parents take it as some wonderful thing and engage the child in doing it with them. Then the child will develop a taste and continue offering obeisances throughout the whole life. So the point is the parents have to do the devotional service, engage the child doing it with them. Don't just tell the child to do it. You do it, be the example, and have them do it along with you. But once they're 15, it's very difficult. The idea is to get them when they're like 6 months old and start them at that point. Bowing down before the deities. You know, the little boy in our Nama Hut Center in Austin was a little tiny baby. When the father would go cut vegetables for the feast, he would take the boy in the kitchen, give him a little a dull knife, and let him cut vegetables also, even though it was useless in the beginning. You know, he couldn't do anything, but he'd give him some scraps, and he would think he was cutting too, like a little girl imitate her mommy with a little toy stove, you know. So he'd have the little baby imitate him cutting on his little cutting board, you know, on the floor with a dull knife that he could never cut his hand with him. But then as the boy grew up, he actually started doing, really cutting the vegetables, you know, and doing a very expert job. And it wasn't like a drudgery, oh no, I have to go cut vegetables, I can't play with the other kids, oh no. He said these other kids are missing out on the nectar. Here I am getting the real nectar. I'm doing devotional service, tasting the bliss of bhakti. These other kids, they just run around like little wild animals. You see? So the trick is you have to engage them in doing devotional activities from the youngest possible age. At age 15, all you can do is make friends with her, take her prashadam, tell her how great it is. Don't try to force it on her. But just tell her how much, how great it is, how wonderful it is. It's so much nectar. She's ever come even one time?
Yeah, she came.
Well, you have to just tell her every time you come here, tell her all the wonderful things that happened that she missed. We had this kirtan. It was so ecstatic. You just felt like you're being blasted through the coverings of the universe and the spiritual world. You know? You just got to just really make it like, oh, what did I miss? You know? You got to make her dripping with envy, you know? Drooling with envy that she missed on this program. Well, we had this sweet rice. It was so good. And you just have to just tell her. So she just, she won't be able to keep herself away.
But she has to practice herself at home, even though she
is. Yeah, that's what we say.
Yes.
She has to.
No, you have to. I do that. I do.
You chant? Do you offer Buddha to Krishna? You offer?
I do to what, you know, how I tell you, how I mention, you know. I do as well. I do at home.
You do it practically, externally?
Practically, yes.
You have an altar?
I have an altar.
Yeah, set up a nice, you do? Do a whole nice bhakti system at home and do it with, do it ecstatically.
Okay.
So she can see you're getting some taste, some nectar that she is not getting. That's how you have to do it.
Okay.
You have to do it ecstatically in a state of great transcendental bliss. Chant your japa, make the offerings, read Prabhupada's books, to where she becomes envious of you that you're getting some nectar that she isn't getting. And then she'll naturally take to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Got 5 minutes left. Yes.
I recently heard that spirit and matter are connected through the medium of the super soul. I was wondering what this meant. And could you explain that a bit?
Everything is connected with Krishna. Everything. The spirit, super soul is a manifestation of Krishna. The material nature is a man. Everything is a manifestation of Krishna. So everything is connected with Krishna. Matak sarvam pravartate. What is that? How does it begin? Matak parataram nanyat kinchedasti dananjaya. Mayi sarvam idam brotam sutre mani gana iva. O conqueror of wealth, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. So Krishna is a thread that holds everything together. The Paramatma is held together, the material energy, the jivas, everything is being held together by that one common thread, Krishna. Does that answer your question?
My question is more how does spirit and matter, I know they don't become entwined, but how do they become connected?
They're already, not that they become connected, they're already connected. They're always connected. Because matter is simply a manifestation of spirit. So their connection is already there. But you cannot see it. That is where the disconnection is. The disconnection is in your own consciousness. So all you have to do is reconnect your consciousness with Krishna by chanting his name, by bowing down before him, etc. And when your consciousness becomes reconnected with Krishna, then you will see how everything has always eternally been connected with Krishna. Only your vision was lacking. One more question.
The youngest age to start chanting?
What's the age to start chanting?
The youngest
age to start chanting.
In the womb is the best time.
I should start himself.
Actually, in terms of chanting japa, as soon as you're old enough to not disrespect the beads. It depends on the child. The child is going to throw the beads down, then no, they're not ready for japa. But as soon as that child knows how to treat the beads with on reverence, at that stage, at that age, he can begin chanting.
If he's not holding, then how he should do?
He should wait.
If he can't hold the beads yet, then obviously he can't chant on the beads. But as far as chanting on the mouth, I would teach him, you know, as soon as he comes out of the womb, as soon as possible. You know, because the child is going to go goo 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 goo, or whatever they say, you know. Parents go goo 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 goo. The parents go goo 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 goo. Instead of doing that, go Krishna, 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 Krishna. You know, he should be hearing the holy names instead of this baby. It's kind of the way the adults talk with little babies sometimes. Coochie coochie coo. No, you should go Krishna, 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 Krishna. You should just fill him up with Krishna. So the first word he says is Krishna. You should train your child in such a way the very first word he says is Krishna. Not just do it in front of the child, engage in doing it with you. The children wants to do something.
But if child is disturbing, then...
The child wants attention. That's why they disturb the parents. So don't the idea is whatever you're doing for Krishna, engage the child in doing it along with you. The child wants attention of the parents. They crave that and demand that attention. Isn't it a fact? So if you will give them that attention by engaging them in devotional service, they will be happy. For them, the whole world is an adventure. Anything they do is an adventure. So for them, devotional service is an exciting adventure.
Like for deity's dressing, the child wants to put the ornaments on the deity. If the child wants to put the ornament on the deities, then
you get a little of those Krishna dolls, and you, while you're dressing the deities, you have the child decorating his Krishna doll with jewelry. You give him his own Krishna doll. Let him whenever you're decorating your deity, you do it together. You're decorating the deity; he's decorating his Krishna doll. Get him a whole set of jewelry for the Krishna doll. So every day, and now it's deity worship time. I worship my deity, you worship your deity. And that way, instead of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, you know, actually, this little boy that my disciple's son, Abhaycharan, my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dashi, she very nicely trained Abhaycharan and his wife, Guruvani, how to train their little boy. So some other devotee actually bought, what was it, Donald Duck? Bought on the birthday of this little child, they got him a Donald Duck toy. And the parents said, we don't want it, get it, take it back. They wouldn't accept that gift because they don't want to spoil their child with rascal Donald Duck, you know, mentality. So they told this devotee, take it back. You know, we don't want a Donald Duck toy for our child. No, we don't accept it. Right?
Yeah, he loved to...
What happened?
It was something like that. When they vacuum the carpet there, the child wants to vacuum it. But the machine is so heavy that he was not able. So another devotee brought him a vacuum cleaner. A toy vacuum cleaner.
A Donald Duck vacuum cleaner? Oh, let's see. A toy vacuum... Anyway. Yeah, this child was he was trained to do devotional activities, so sometimes he'd be with other children, they'd be watching television. He would have no interest. He would not sit and watch television with the other children. He refused to. He thought, this is a stupid waste of time. I have no interest in this television. So if you can give the child an actual experience of being absorbed in bhakti, he will not have any interest in this material world. He'll become a great pure devotee. That's a fact.
Negative thought into
him and how to stop him getting that. You know, he should not feel that my parents deprived me of him.
There's one couple from, actually they're Rajasthanis, growing up in Boise, Idaho. And they raised their child in pure Krishna consciousness. His name was Ravi Gupta. They raised him in pure Krishna consciousness. They wouldn't even send him to the public school. The mother stayed, you know about Ravi Gupta. The mother gave him full education all the way to 12th standard, or like 12th grade, high school diploma he earned at home. And then at the age of 13, he entered the university.
1-3.
At the age of 13, he entered the university. And now he's a Sanskrit professor in the university in Florida. He teaches sometimes at Radhadesh. He's a very learned Sanskrit professor. So you think, well, we have to let our child go out and do all these nonsense things so he doesn't feel deprived. That means, what it really means is that we think that we're being deprived by not being able to do all those things. That's our own lack of faith. So we have to have our own conviction that I'm not, by engaging myself only in Krishna consciousness, I'm not missing out on anything. I'm getting the supreme enjoyment because Krishna is the sum total of everything. When you actually experience Krishna, then you're experiencing everything. It's not that you're missing out on some experience by experiencing only Krishna. No. The only way you can actually experience and know everything is to become fully Krishna conscious. So you have to increase your own conviction that only engaging in Krishna consciousness, that's the only, if I don't engage only in Krishna consciousness, then I'm depriving myself. That conviction you have to have in your own heart, and that then the child will naturally pick it up from you. That's the key. It's always based on your example. If you're afraid the child's going to be deprived by not being able to, you know, listen to the Beatles along with listening to bhajans, then that means, I'm not saying you, but it's just an example. Somebody growing up here in the West, they would, you know, we were all trained to be Beatle maniacs, you know, in our youth. So one may feel deprived. Oh, I'm not going to listen to the Beatles anymore. Oh, my goodness. But no, one just have to understand that by coming into this consciousness of Krishna consciousness, then you achieve everything. All desires are fulfilled just by becoming Krishna conscious. We have to have that faith, and we have to develop that taste to where we have not any shadow of a doubt within our own hearts. It's simply by becoming Krishna conscious, everything is fulfilled, everything is perfect.
The point would be this, that the parents need to educate their children. What is Krishna consciousness? What does it mean? Because generally parents think that, oh, the person is very small, he can't understand.
That's a very good point. We think, well, you know, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, this is not really for the kiddies. When we adults sit and hear the lectures, we're going to have some Sunday school in the back room so they can just, you know, draw in the coloring books and they can run around a little bit and scream and holler a little bit. Sometimes we see this mentality is there, but actually, at what age was Prahlad's education begun? Within the womb. So actually we should train the children to sit when they're a little tiny, put them in your lap, you be very enthusiastic to hear the lectures, engage the child's with you, even if he's crying, put a little prasadam in his mouth, keep him quiet, engage them from the very beginning in hearing this philosophy, and you'll be surprised. We saw this little boy in Austin, at the age of 3, he was making philosophical points on his own and quoting Shastra to back up his points at the age of 3. And we didn't teach him to memorize any verses. Just by hearing the lectures, he could recite perfect Sanskrit. So you really just have to engage them nicely from the very beginning in hearing The child needs to learn, develop a taste for hearing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If he develops that taste, he'll never he'll never feel deprived. He'll feel so sorry for all the other children that are deprived of Krishna. And he'll become a preacher, naturally, to save them from their illusion and their suffering. Our time has run out. Any further questions?
Five more minutes?
Okay. Manaji is given an extension. Okay.
If someone feels like to become a disciple, what is to do?
Disciple means discipline. So if one disciple of any, we have many spiritual masters in our ISKCON movement. So Prabhupada instructed that after, in his physical absence, that the initiations in our society would be by his disciples initiating the new devotees as their disciples and making them the grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So the way to qualify to be a disciple of one of Prabhupada's disciples and in this way become the grand disciple, formal grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada, is the same system that we did when Prabhupada was here. You chant 16 rounds, you follow the regulated principles, and then when you're, when a local authority recommends you to that spiritual master, then he will accept you. So that's a simple thing. Anybody who wants to be my disciple or a disciple of any of the other wonderful, well, I don't call myself wonderful, but I'm the terrible guru, but of the wonderful gurus, yeah, any disciple of any of the terrible guru, any of the wonderful gurus, then chant 16 rounds, follow regulated principles, become recommended by the local authority. And this way you can be initiated. And that's how.
That's one of the last questions.
Yeah?
Do you think that a generalized anxiety disorder can be cured by chanting?
What is it?
Anxiety disorder. Can it be cured? Can a psychic disorder be
cured by chanting?
Absolutely. All anxieties can be destroyed simply by chanting Hare Krishna. All varieties of anxieties completely wiped out by chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay, let's forget. A few minutes left here, 3 minutes. Okay.
You talk about that we should chant early in the morning, like before sunrise.
Here, ideally, yeah.
But here the time, the sunrise and sunset times are quite strange.
Yeah, that's true. I'm used to Texas where it's pretty normalized. I know here I've seen in Riga like the sun can be up like 4:30 in the morning and not go down until like 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, we're not used to this when I grew up in the U.S. But yeah, that is a fact. But it was one time discussed at some in one seminar in Russia. There's a certain time the birds start chirping. Yeah. That can be considered the sunrise time in those times of the year when the sun comes up very, very early. When the birds start waking up, but that you should have your round them before the birds wake up. Before the birds start their chanting, their chirping, your chirping should be finished.
We go to work or jobs on timely manner, whether it is night or whether it is daytime.
Yeah, we see how people are very dedicated to being to work on time, but not so dedicated to their job. So what's more important, maintaining the body or maintaining the spirit soul? We have to understand the priorities and act accordingly. That's another matter. Yeah. I mean, why would you put more emphasis into maintaining, this flesh and blood than you would to delivering your soul from its entanglement in karma chakra? Is that intelligence or is that foolishness? We have to have some common sense here. And I understand it's time to give up being foolish and start to be practical in terms of getting liberated from this material existence. We have to prioritize Krishna consciousness. And as soon as you do that, everything else will fall into place very naturally. All right. So we'll stop here. Everybody has my... Anybody who wants to get my card now to get on, to correspond with me, I have a few cards here I can give out. Anybody who wants... Here, you can pass them around, anybody who wants one. Jai, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.